Hi. I will be talking about the possibility of achieving quantum supremacy in with near future quantum devices. So basically, what is quantum supremacy? We solve a well-defined computational problem with a quantum device, and this problem should not be solvable by any state-of-the-art classical computer. And we want to do this in the near future. Basically, we don't have, we have not so many qubits. We don't have any error correction. And I should say, that this computational problem should not be necessarily a practical problem. It could be something without any practical use. People proposed. There are a few proposals to achieve quantum supremacy. Yeah, such as say optimization of classical functions. You say using quantum annealing. Hamiltonian evolution that cannot be simulated on quantum on classical computers, finding the ground states of some complicated Hamiltonians, say from quantum chemistry, and another approach is to sample from a well-defined distribution. Okay, and in this talk, we propose sampling from the output of universal random quantum circuits. Okay, and what we need, basically, we don't have many qubits. We don't have any error corrections. Because the fidelity is not that great, and basically we can run only shell quantum circuits, and we need to prove that this problem is the cost of solving this problem on a classical computer is exponential, say in the number of qubits. What else? We don't have. We need to say we run a quantum circuit and we sample the output distribution, and we get some numbers, and we do this on a classical computer. And somehow we need to distinguish between those two distributions. We need to. We need to measure that our quantum device is doing better than a classical computer. And we don't really have the witness. We need some figure of merit to estimate the performance of the quantum computer. So what we propose to measure the figure of merit up to the quantum supremacy frontier for small quantum circuits where they can be simulated on the classical computers, and then we propose to extrapolate. I'll tell you, I will explain this later, and the figure of merit we propose is naturally related to the fidelity of quantum circuit. Okay, and the predictions from the theory, and we need basically to match the experimental results with the predictions from the theory for the figure of merit, because we don't really. We cannot measure this. We only can extrapolate this to large system sizes. Okay. To be specific, here on this slide, I'll show you what quantum circuits we are going to run. Basically, those circuits are on 2D arrays. And I mean, here you see the sequence of 2D arrays, and links here are controlled Z gates. And we don't, I mean, we have random quantum circuits, but the locations of the Z gates are not random. They are in a well-defined pattern. And this is basically because we need to spread the entanglement as fast as possible, and it's better to do this when we have this, those patterns. And another thing, we actually, I mean, there are some experimental constraints. We cannot place CZ bonds, say we have a CZ bond here, we cannot place it on the neighbors. Okay, and so we start our circuit with Hadamard gates, then we have D, we have D layers. Basically, this is D is the depth of our circuit, and we select one of those configurations. And then we place single qubit gates on unoccupied sites. And this set of single qubit gates is good in terms of required circuit depths. I will show this later. And this is just a cartoon of a random circuit in 1D array. We start with Hadamard gates, then there is a bunch of CZ gates, which are indicated by vertical links, and we place one qubit gates at random. Then basically we run this circuit and we measure. Okay. Say we have a random circuit U, and we run the circuit, and the output wave function is just and we sample from this output distribution, and the outcome probabilities are just those matrix elements squared, and basically, those circuits are random, and it turns out that real and imaginary parts of CI are uniformly distributed on a 2n dimensional sphere, and n is basically the Hilbert space size. And it follows from that basically the outcome probabilities are distributed according to this Porter Thoma distribution. And I should say that circuits should have sufficient depth to reach this distribution. Okay. And in this figure, I show basically the blue line is the analytical expression for the Porter Thoma distribution, and this is our simulation of a circuit, and you can see that indeed a random quantum circuit, I mean the probabilities are distributed according to the Porter Thoma distribution. Okay. How we can characterize the Porter Thoma distribution? We can calculate the entropy. And this is really a simple calculation, and this is the expression for the entropy. And what we can do, we can study how, how the entropy depends on the depth of the circuit. On those plots, you can see the entropy as a function of depth for different circuits for circuits of different sizes, here 30 qubits, 36 qubits, 42 qubits, and those blue lines are the entropy for the Porter-Thomas distribution, and dots are simulation results. And you can see that we start basically, the entropy is just the number of qubits, and then it goes down, and then it approaches approaches the circuit Porter. It approaches the Porter-Thomas entropy as the depth increases. And I would like to thank Misha Smelyansky, who performed simulations for 36 and 42 qubits. Okay, we can zoom this region. We can estimate the standard deviation for the entropy. I forgot to say that. Okay, this is basically the average over many instances. Okay, and we can calculate the standard deviation, and basically here I plot the entropies again as a function of depth, but I zoom in. And basically, this is the entropy of the Porter-Thomas distribution. And when the depth is large enough, basically the entropy fluctuates around this line, and basically it's within three sigmas. Okay. And here I plot the depths that is required to reach the Porter-Thomas distribution as a function of the number of qubits. And again, it's an average over many instances. We average over many instances, so the error bars are the standard deviations of the sample. And it has sort of a sublinear behavior. And we expect that in 2D, it should be proportional to the square root of the number of qubits. No, it's the number of qubits.
Depth.
The depth, it's the number of layers, yeah. No, it's not the number of gates, it's...
Layers of gates.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
How many gates per layer?
It's basically, it depends. We place two qubit gates, and on unoccupied side, we place one qubit gate. And it's roughly, I guess, it's proportional. I mean, it's, say, 0.7 times n, something like that. And random quantum circuits in the Porter-Thomas regime, they are examples of chaotic systems. The chaotic systems are very sensitive to errors, and here on this plot I show what happens if you add just one extra gate to a circuit. And basically, the red line is I plot the outcome probabilities as a function of bit string in the order of increasing. In this red line, which is basically the Porter-Thomas distribution. And here, this green noisy curve, blue noisy curve, is basically an average over all the all possible placements of single qubit gates. And basically, just adding one extra gate, it completely destroys the output distribution. And simulating chaotic systems basically requires very high fidelity classical simulations.
Sorry?
Y-axis is just P is the outcome probability. times the Hilbert space size. Yes.
And then I'm surprised that in the case of very deep circuits, you will kind of converge over the uniform distribution.
No, it's not the uniform distribution. I mean, in the case for a clean circuit, you converge to the Porter-Thomas distribution.
To the Porter-Thomas.
Yes, but when you add a gate, you completely destroy the output. If you add an extra gate, say Pauli, a Pauli gate, X, Y, or Z, then. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, still the Porter-Thomas distribution, but it will be completely different. I mean, the correspondence between the outcome probabilities and bit strings will be completely different. And when you average over all possible placements of one qubit gates, you get the uniform distribution. Okay. And we argue that sampling from the distribution of random quantum circuits is very hard on classical computers. Basically, what you can do, you can evolve the full wave function, and it's exponential in the the memory requirement is exponential in the number of qubits, and say for 48 qubits, you need 2.5 petabytes of memory. And this is basically the limit of what can be done on state-of-the-art computers. You can calculate the matrix elements using tensor contractions, and this is exponential in the tree width of the quantum circuit, and you can do this maybe up to depth 25 for 48 qubits. You can use this stabilizer mechanism, and basically this is exponential in the number of T gates. In our circuit, we have enough T gates, and you don't really can simulate it for 48 qubits. Also, we can map to an Ising model. And this Ising model has imaginary temperature. And there is no apparent structure in this Ising model. And say, and it has a strong sign problem. And just estimating this partition function by performing Monte Carlo is basically impossible. Okay, and there is some relation to computational complexity. I'm not an expert in computational complexity, so I don't really understand what is written here. It's basically, there is a strong computational complexity conjecture. This partition function cannot be probabilistically approximated asymptotically with an NP oracle. And theorem, if Pi can be classically sampled, then Z can be approximated with an NP oracle. So basically, we have contradiction. Okay. So we conclude that classical simulations fail for random quantum circuits with more than approximately 48 qubits and depths 25. And basically, the best what classical computers can do just to sample from, in polynomial time, just to sample from the uniform distribution. Okay. We run our quantum circuit, and we sample our quantum circuit on a classical computer, and basically what we do is we sample from the uniform distribution. And we sample it on a quantum device from either the ideal distribution, the ideal case when we don't have any errors, and if we have errors, we sample from some approximation. And we need to figure, and we need a figure of merit to distinguish between those two distributions. So basically, we need a figure of merit to measure the quality of quantum sampling to test quantum supremacy. Okay, and what we propose basically, this is basically the cross entropy between two probability distributions. And we can calculate, say, the cross entropy between the uniform distribution and the ideal distribution. And this is just this expression. And it's similar to the expression for the entropy of the Porter Thomas distribution. And the difference is one. So this is basically a hint for a test of quantum supremacy. What we propose to measure the cross entropy difference. Say we have an algorithm A that approximates circuit U. And it could be any algorithm, like a classical algorithm or execution on a quantum device. And this is basically the expression for the alpha is basically the cross entropy difference. And it's given by this expression. And PA is the probability distribution of the algorithm A. And this number basically shows the performance of algorithm. Say, if we sample from the uniform distribution, then alpha equals zero. And if we sample on a quantum device without errors, then alpha equals one. And basically, this number measures how well we are sampling the quantum circuit on a quantum device. Okay, basically, we argue that we achieve quantum supremacy if alpha is greater than C, and C is given by the best by the performance of the best classical algorithm, and basically C is very close to zero. Yeah. Yeah.
Then how about
C? But the best classical algorithm gives you C equals it's suppressed exponentially in the number of qubits and the number of gates. So C basically is zero.
But when you write cross probability, cross entropy, you need a model,
Yeah. Just in a few slides, I'll show you how we do that. Yes. Yes, and basically the question, yes, how can we measure alpha for large circuits? This is the question, yes. Okay. Basically, this slide shows how we can measure the cross entropy difference for small system sizes. You just take a sufficiently large sample of bit strings using noisy experimental quantum computer implementation. And then for small circuits, we can calculate PU on classical computers. And we can just, we have this expression for alpha. But for large enough circuits, those probabilities cannot be obtained numerically. So it turns out that alpha is related to fidelity. Say, this is the output of experimental realization K of random circuit U. And sigma K here is basically, it represents the effect of errors. Then, and alpha tilde is the circuit fidelity. Then the outcome probability of this experimental realization is given by this expression. And then the cross entropy difference is given by this expression. And if we assume that those matrix elements are statistically independent of the outcome probabilities of the ideal circuit, then if we average over random circuits, then we can calculate the cross entropy difference, and it turns out that the cross entropy difference, the average cross entropy difference, is just alpha tilde. Yeah, so it's the circuit fidelity. And in the depolarizing channel, you don't really have to average over random circuits. You can just calculate this directly, and it turns out that alpha equals alpha tilde. So we cannot measure alpha for large system sizes. What we need some theory, some error model. In the digital error model, the circuit fidelity is given by this expression, and here G1 is the number of 1-qubit gates, G2 is the number of 2-qubit gates, N is the number of qubits, and R1 is the error rate for single qubit gates, R2 is the error rate for 2-qubit gates, and R init is the error rate for the initialization of the circuit, and RMES is the error rate for the measurements. And basically, using this simple theoretical model, what we can do, we can just plot plot alpha given by this expression as a function of the number of qubits. These are those dashed lines for different rates, for different error rates, and those solid lines are basically simulation results for small circuits. So basically, what we propose to do, we propose to estimate alpha using some theoretical model, to measure alpha for small circuit sizes using some theoretical model, and then to extrapolate to large system sizes. And so basically, the experimental, R in experiments is close to this value, and this is basically the supremacy frontier. We need, say, roughly 48 qubits, and over here basically is, if the extrapolated alpha is roughly 0.1, then we sort of can say that we have quantum supremacy. So, basically, the cross entropy difference can be measured up to the quantum supremacy frontier with the help of supercomputers, and then we extrapolate the cross entropy difference by varying the number of qubits, varying the number of non-Clifford gates and the circuit depths. Basically, if we have small number of qubits, we can just directly simulate the circuit. If we have a small number of non-Clifford gates, then we can use the stabilizer mechanism to simulate the circuit. And then if the circuit is not very deep, then we can use tensor contractions to calculate the probabilities. And then we fit to theory. This is the simplest theory, but probably we need a better error model. And to say that we really have quantum supremacy, all should match. And basically, we need to observe a close correspondence between experiments, numerics, and theory.
Error model is digital error.
No, it's the simplest one, but we are working on more realistic error models.
Yeah. So without error correction, the error is not digital; it's analog error. So have you considered analog error instead of digital error?
No, I guess.
No. Okay,
This is basically the summary of my talk, and. We expect to be able to sample the output distribution of shell random circuits of, say, 49 qubits with significant fidelity in the near term. And those circuits cannot be approximated by classical computers. And then we will have quantum supremacy. Also, those random quantum circuits are related to quantum chaos. There is some relation to computational complexity. And basically, this cross-entropy method is a new method to benchmark complex quantum circuits. And the cross-entropy method can be applied to other sampling problems. And this is my last slide. This conference is quantum machine learning conference, and okay, and I mean there are some. I mean my talk is not about quantum machine learning, obviously, but there are some relations, right? I mean, if you sample from distribution, then you can sort of apply this to machine learning, and obviously, probability distributions produced by random quantum circuits are likely to be useless for machine learning. But maybe one can sample some other circuits, and the probability distributions produced by those circuits, they might be useful for quantum machine learning, for machine learning. Thank you.
Wondering, could you say a little bit about the hardware on which you expect to be able to do these quantum circuit sampling?
It's developed in the group by John Martinez, who is also at Google now, and this is just superconducting circuits.
In your first few slides, you were talking about the entropy simulation of the 4080 qubits. I just wonder, like, how you do that? I mean,
how
like in your first few slides, you were talking about entropy, like, yeah, as a graph of the number of qubits.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, how you do simulations on like 48 qubits? I mean.
Well, I mean, we didn't simulate 48 qubits. I mean, the largest size. I mean, what we did is 42 qubits.
So you actually do a 42 qubit like entropy simulation?
Yes, yes, we did that, yes.
So I mean, is that the part of the problem you try to solve, or there's just different simulation?
What do you mean different? I mean, it's you just evolve your wave function on a supercomputer. You need a lot of memory. You need to distribute your wave function over many nodes. And then you just evolve your wave function, and you can calculate the entropy.
Oh, so you actually, like, you just use your like supercomputer?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a question. When you define alpha with the cross entropy, there are two probability distribution: the benchmark, a classical one, and the one where you measure the cross entropy with, right?
Yeah.
Do they have to be the same, or?
What you mean, the cross?
So if you go back to the slide where you define the alpha.
This one?
The next one, maybe.
Hmm?
The next one?
The next one, yeah.
Actually, the one before. Oh yeah, so PA and
yeah, I mean PA is the probability distribution of your approximation algorithm. It can be a classical algorithm or it can be.
So this one is independent of.
Sorry.
It's independent of how you generate PA, like.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with the quantum supremacy, it looks like you're putting the line at where we can simulate this with a supercomputer. And that makes sense, and I'm happy with that. One of the things I don't understand is that it seems like here, the way you're judging whether the hardware actually achieves this or not is by doing hypothesis testing. You're comparing the output distribution of some random quantum circuit to some other distribution, and relating that to this cross entropy.
Well, I mean,
and then you're bounding that. So that's also related to fidelity. And then fidelity has an operational interpretation in terms of state discrimination. You can use Fuchs van der Graaff to get a rigorous bound on the probability of error. So I'm wondering, like, why are we going through all these sort of gymnastics just to do state discrimination? Like, why not just take a state discrimination? A distribution discrimination in this case.
Well, I mean, we cannot do this hypothesis test for large circuits. I mean, we sample the distribution, we get a sequence of numbers, right? But we need some. If we know the probabilities of the ideal distribution, yes, we can do that. But we don't know that. I mean, for large circuit sizes, we don't know them.
So maybe to tie it back to machine learning is that's exactly what's going on in big data, right? You have, classification in a high-dimensional space.
So yeah.
There might be some techniques to do that.
There's been a lot of work recently in high energy physics and holography on quantum chaos and scrambling. And in their work, I think some authors are from Perimeter, they diagnose quantum chaos with certain correlators called out of time order correlators. Maybe it would be interesting to see if you could implement a measurement of certain of these correlators to diagnose scrambling. And they do all sorts of work to see that, if you have a hard random unitary, of course it scrambles really well. And I guess that's what you're trying to emulate here with the random circuit.
Yeah, okay, thank you, yeah.
I don't know, maybe look into that.
I guess if there are no other questions, let's thank Sergey again and